Within the study of subterranean termites and identifying species and colony distinction, there's been basically five methods that have been used. The first being morphometric analysis, which we've seen examples of in presentations already today. The next being that's more of a species determining technique. But the next, in terms of colony distinction, you basically have the next four techniques for determining colonial affiliation. The first being mark release recapture studies. These have been mostly done with dyes recently, such as Nile blue dyeing feeding substrates and tracking colonies throughout space and time. Then you can use agonism or aggression bioassays, which are as they sound, where you take members from one colony, stick them with another, and if they're aggressive towards them, they may or may not, depending on the level of aggression, may or may not be related colonially. Then you can do some cuticular hydrocarbon phenotyping. This has mostly been also done for species determining techniques. But then you also have biochemical and genetic analysis. Biochemical being allozyme technique or allozyme work, and genetic analysis being done with, as we've seen in these presentations and other papers that have been published in the last 8 years, you can either use mitochondrial DNA or genomic DNA. And mitochondrial DNA, as we saw from the last study, provides a long list of haplotypes that you can use to basically determine colonial affiliation. I used microsatellite DNA primers. Just some quick definitions. A locus would be a chromosomal location of a gene. An allele would be an alternative form of that gene. Microsatellite DNA loci are large repeated clusters of 2 to 5 base pairs of DNA sequences found in non-coding genome regions. Dr. Ed Vargo from North Carolina State University in the year 2000 published oligonucleotide PCR primers to amplify 9 microsatellite regions of the eastern subterranean termite. Microsatellite DNA is good because it's codominant. It allows you to see both variations of an allele if they exist. If it's heterozygous within this individual, you'll be able to examine both allele copies. They have a high mutation rate due to slippage and proofreading errors during DNA replication events. This provides you with a polymorphic number of repeats, basically, that allow you to distinguish one organism from another. And you can use simple sequence length polymorphisms, which is kind of a qualitative technique where you can just see a difference existing in the number of base pairs per genotype. The objectives of this study was just to utilize the microsatellite genotypic fingerprints to make colony level distinctions from closely collected termite colonies. And this was done more on a qualitative approach at first, where if we could just see a difference, I would score these differences. And then if I could not tell a difference, then I would go in and do some further work with sequencing. Okay, I collected termites with the help of pest control operators from 5 collection sites in Lancaster County. All of these were from homes, which within 2 weeks after I collected the termites, basically received Termidor treatments. The sample sites were only used when 5 or more individual worker termites were sampled. That's kind of a limiting agent here, because I could only get as many termites as I could get at the time I could get them. Soldier specimens, I obtained enough where I got more than 5 soldiers from each one, from 2 of the 5 sample sites, which I used to identify the species morphologically. I did that just by the keys of Wiesner 1962, with the determination being made in between Reticulotermes flavipes and Reticulotermes tibialis based on the ratio of the Guler plates G1 and G2. In terms of the microsatellite work, basically I just lyophilized the termites. I extracted their DNA with a D&Easy extraction kit, ran the PCR reaction, which I have my reaction specifications in the paper if anyone wants to see them. I then resolved these products on 12% non-denaturing polyacrylamide gels. I restained the gels with ethidium bromide and just visualized them on a Bio-Rad gel doc system. Alright, and then if I needed to go further into examining it, I subcloned and sequenced the DNA in both directions. I purified the PCR products, ligated them to a vector, transformed it into DH5-alpha E. coli, mini-prepped all that DNA, sequenced it with the T7 DNA polymerase at the core facility at the University of Nebraska. This is just a quick map showing everyone knows we're Nebraska. We're right in the middle of everything. You can see Iowa, Missouri, Colorado, Wyoming. There's two predominant termite species present in Nebraska, the arid land subterranean termite, Reticulotermes tibialis, which basically you can almost draw a line down the middle, and that's the dividing boundary between it and the eastern subterranean termite in the state. Within Lincoln itself, these are just a description where you can get an estimate of length between the colony sites where I collected my termites. You can see there's two colonies down on the bottom that are basically right next to each other. Those were one house here. You go right around the corner, and you're collecting termites from another house. And that's what really made me want to try to do something like this, to see what I could find, is just to see if I could actually tell whether or not these termites were in the same colony or not. Then you see a colony to the left, AAK2. That basically is about 1,000 meters away, which is well beyond any published foraging distance for Reticulotermes flavipes colony that I've read. And then I have two further outgroups, which I figured I would definitely be able to hopefully tell the difference between these and the two colonies that are directly right next to each other. This is just my qualitative method, basically. This is a picture of just part of the polyacrylamide gel. And basically, I just scored alleles alphanumerically up, basically. And if another allele wasn't present, like this one, and it would just here, all I had was this one band, that would be considered a homozygote for this B allele at this site. I found basically 5 of the 8 loci that I tested to be informative, and this is just a quick run through of some of that data that I got, where at the first locus, basically I had a heterozygote genotype that I saw in a couple individuals for one of the major outgroups that easily separated that group from the other ones. And then in terms of, these are the two colonies that are right next to each other. They'll be right here on all these tables. So here at this relationship, I was completely homozygous for AAH2 and all the individuals I tested, yet I found a different allele and a heterozygote relationship for the other colony right there. But the one thing that you'll see is a recurring theme that kind of troubled me was I kept seeing, like here you see the same homozygous allele at this locus, between the one that's about 1,000 meters away and then one of the closely connected colonies. The next locus is kind of a similar story, only here I definitely see a distinction between the two that I just saw here, but I can also easily distinguish the two very closely connected colonies. This is the next locus. There's a heterozygote here at the individual sampled from one colony, and it's clearly different from the one that's right around the corner from it. Yet once again, we see the only genotype that I found present was in this AAK2, was this heterozygote, and it basically qualitatively looked the same as AAH3. And this is the picture I used earlier. I reran this gel specifically just to create this picture to try to show the relationship of how similar these look when I was scoring them. So then I did the sequencing work on this, and I just aligned two of them from two individuals just to show the differences were consistent, that AAK2, which is about 1,000 meters from the closely connected colonies, is missing about 10 base pairs here, and there's these presences of single nucleotide polymorphisms right here within the core repeat of the microsatellite. The next locus basically continues to show the same kind of hammer and the same results, where this colony here that is closely connected to the AAH3 is basically not showing the same genotypes as what is present here, but yet you can see the same relationship amongst AH3, where we have a header. This is the next allele. The next allele shows another. Basically, it allows us to distinguish AAF1, AH2, AAJ3, but yet there's a large degree of similarity between AAH3 and AAK2. This is just a picture of the gel. Not as clear for this one because I didn't run a special gel. This is a bigger gel that I just zoomed in and took one fragment of. But then I sequenced these with the AAH2, AAH3, and AAK2 populations, and you can clearly see that they're not the same allele. It's actually about 30 base pairs in this individual that I got back different between AAK2 and AAH3, even though with the qualitative method, they looked much more closer to each other than they were. Conclusions, I determined that basically this method that I did is a semi-qualitative method of evaluating colonial affiliation in termites and kind of looking at allelic and genotypic diversity amongst the population. 5 of the 8 microsatellite loci were found to be informative for me when I just looked at the gels and tried to score alleles. It provided baseline data on genotypic variability within termites of Nebraska, and what I would really like to be able to do was hopefully to resample if there's ever reinvading termites, which with Termidor, who knows when that will be, but we could resample reinvading termites and compare the genotypic profiles. If I could go back, I would definitely have hoped to have collected many more termites and get many more sample sites right around this area if there was termites infesting structures, but I can't necessarily go back in time. But then other future research would be to kind of investigate these SNPs and core repeat differences in these alleles at the population level. And I don't know. So.
No time for questions. Thank you.